going to be in Romans chapter 10 and start there and go forward from there. And we're teaching on doctrine again. These messages on doctrine, I want our folks at Open Door to be well established in doctrine and understand why the Bible says things. So today you will probably already believe and know what I'm going to teach you. I'm going to teach you how the Bible says it, how clear it is in the Bible, and how you can defend it and such. And it's a doctrine that the devil will always attack. Romans chapter 10. I want to talk about Jesus is the Lord God, the deity of Christ. Jesus is the Lord God, the deity of Christ, and Romans chapter 10. Brother, in my heart's desire and prayer, verse 1, to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Paul had a heart for Israel to be saved, but they couldn't be saved right then. Why? Because they were trying to work their way to heaven. They're trying to get there by good works, he says. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Listen to me very carefully. There are wonderful, wonderful, sweet people all over who want to know God, but do not do it according to knowledge. They have a zeal of God, but they're doctrinally wrong, and they aren't saved. But I know them, they're nice. It's not the same. God is God, not us. He says, here's the stipulations for salvation. And he says, these Jews have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. They have, for Christ is the end of the law of righteousness for everyone that believeth. He says, they have tried to earn their way to heaven. They're trying to make their own righteousness, and so they need to be saved. Now, his heart is that they get saved. His prayer is that they trust Christ. But he says, right now they're not saved, because they're not serving God according to knowledge. Sincerity does not make you right. The people who used to put leeches on people and bleed them because they sincerely believed that if you took the blood out of them, they'd get better, though they were sincere, were wrong. Okay? The person who's drugged out and thinks, I can jump off this cliff and I'll be fine, still dies. Though he really believes it. He's Superman. Okay, gravity is still gravity. Doesn't matter your sincerity and your belief in it. It doesn't, absolutes are absolutes, whether you believe in them or not. And if God says this is the way to heaven, listen, if I tried that with the American government, I said, listen, I know you have these rules about how to get in Fort Knox, but I have my own beliefs in how to get in Fort Knox, so let me in. Are they going to let me in because I have my own beliefs? No. And God said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. But I just believe it's to the church. You're wrong. They going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law of righteousness. Verse 5, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith, what we're under now, speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, near you, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which he preaches. You know, salvation is right there next to every human. You know what's wonderful about that? Salvation is right there for any human. He gives you two things. It's right there. It's as near as your heart and is your mouth. That is a word of faith which he preached, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. So it's two things. One, you confess with your mouth that he's the Lord Jesus. Don't get used to that phrase. That phrase is huge. Cults don't use that phrase. They don't believe that Jesus is God. If I said about my friend, this is the Lord Robert. You say, whoa. If I said, he is Lord, you'd say, whoa. Oh, whoa. When you say Jesus is Lord, you're saying something huge. You're believing the record that God gave of his son, that he is Lord. Okay? First thing, confess to your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What a wonderful thing, right there, by your mouth and by your heart, you believe that God raised the dead. And then he says, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, verse 10, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let's go ahead and pray and we'll talk about this. Father, thank you for the chance to teach your word. I pray we'd be able to show your word tonight clearly, and every one of us will be ready to earnestly contend for the faith and show what your word says about Jesus. Lord, it's the wrong Jesus, as you said in Galatians. If any man preach any other Jesus whom I have not preached, which is not another. Lord, we know that there's one Jesus, and you tell us what he's like. We pray that we tonight understand this doctrine and see the truth. And thank you. May your spirit powerfully speak to our hearts and help us to see your truth and understand doctrine. In Jesus' name, amen. Just to the first there, I just want to say right there, Jesus is Lord. He says, confess your mouth. I want to say that real publicly here. I want to say that. Let everybody hear it. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Okay? Once you say that, if you believe that, if you don't believe it, don't say it. Jesus is Lord. Okay? Confess to your mouth. That means you believe that he's not a man. He wasn't a prophet that just died. He was the Lord, became man. Okay? You confess that with your mouth. There's a lot of spots in the Bible that talk about this, and we'll go to a good amount of them. We're not going to be every verse, certainly, but just a few thoughts on this. Jesus is Lord. Number one, he is called God. He's called God. We'll just show you some of the verses. Let's go to John 1, a well-known one. We'll go to some that aren't so well-known. John 1. John 1. In the beginning was the Word, capital W, because it's referring to Jesus. We'll see that in a moment. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? So the Word, whatever the Word is God. Pretty clear there, all right? Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word is made flesh, so the Word is Jesus. He dwelt among us. And John bear witness of him. It's Jesus. So Jesus is the Word. The Word is God. You know, this verse is so obvious and so clear. When the Jehovah's Witnesses finally decided, you know, we just cannot fit what we believe in with the Bible. And they made their own translation. If you read a New World Translation, it says, and the Word was a God. I've talked to so many Jehovah's Witnesses about this. They'll say, oh no, it doesn't say a God. It says the Word is a God. Jesus is a God. There's all kinds of problems with that that we'll get to a little later. But I always say, why would you say that? Oh, there's an absence of a definite article. When there's an absence of a definite article, you put an A in there. I said, how much Greek have you taken? I said, I've had 2 years. How much have you taken? Well, I've never taken it, but that's the rule. I said, okay, then let's make sure your Bible does it right, because verse 5 has an absence of a definite article, and let's see if your Bible does it there. Okay? I'm sorry, verse 6. And there is a man sent from God. Now, if you're going to be consistent, it's going to say there's a man sent from a God. As a matter of fact, 27 times in the book of John, you have the absence of the definite article. And in their Bible, 26 times they don't put the A in there. The only time they do is verse 1 of John 1:1. Because they changed it. They're not using any kind of, no secular, Christians have gone to secular Greek scholars and said, can you translate verse 1 for me? They never put an A in there. It doesn't fit. They simply made that. By the way, who translated your Bibles for you? They were humble men. They don't tell us. You have no idea if they knew Greek. Their Bibles made by, they don't know who. They literally don't. It's Jesus called God right here. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And by the way, I believe that's worth something defending, saying who Jesus is. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Sorry, I said 2. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God, who is it? God. God was manifest in the flesh. That's Jesus, justified in the spirit. Seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received of the glory. Jesus is called God. By the way, in the King James, if you're not a King James, you'll find the word God is switched there. It'll say he, not God, but it's theos in Greek. It's a bad translation. It's God was manifest in the spirit, and we see that, and he's called that. Isaiah 6:9, you don't need to turn there. For thou shalt, talking about Messiah coming, obviously, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall rest upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. What is called? the everlasting Father. You call the Son the everlasting Father? Yes, call the Trinity the Prince of Peace. Okay, it just says that very clearly. You'll call his name the Almighty God. Let's look at Matthew chapter 1. He just called God. You wouldn't call somebody God who is not God. It would be a mistake. Yet the Bible calls him God in many, many, many places. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and they shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. Now go to John chapter 20. Again, this is pretty clear. We're not doing any kind of sneaky wording here. We're just looking at what it says. And it says what it says. Jesus is God. John chapter 20. By the way, you ever have a problem with Jehovah's Witnesses? They won't go away. Take them to John 20 in your Bible or theirs and just go with them through verse 26 through 29. It destroys every one of their doctrines. They do not believe Jesus physically rose from the dead. They believe he rose as a spirit. They do not believe he's God. Okay, look at these verses. And verse 26, after 8 days, again, the disciples were with him, and Thomas with him. Then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, and he stood in the midst of them and said, peace be unto you. Then he said, reach hither thy finger, behold my hands, and reach hither thy hands, and thrust into my side, and be not faithless, but believing, because you can touch me. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Pretty hard to dispute. My Lord and my God. Now, I want to tell you this. If you said that to me, and you said, my Lord and my God, I'd be lifting you up, kicking you. Whoa, no, don't call me God. I'm not your Lord and God. So if Jesus isn't God, how does he react here? What does he say? Jesus said to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they who have not seen yet believe. He accepts it. Why? Because he's God. He's God. He's called my Lord and my God. Let's look back at John chapter 9. So a Jehovah's Witness won't believe that Jesus is God. A Mormon won't believe that Jesus is God. They'll both believe he is a God. We'll get to that in a sec. A Muslim will not believe that he is God. They'll believe he's a prophet. Buddhists will believe he's an enlightened one. But God and the Bible and born-again Christians, we believe that he's God because God says so. He's not just some other great teacher or anything like that. He's God, God in the flesh. And we see that. John chapter 9 and verse 35. Jesus heard that they could cast him out. And when they found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believed, and he worshipped him. Okay? That he worshipped him. So, when you say this, somebody doesn't believe Jesus, God, who's part of a cult, a false religion, what they'll say is this. They'll say, well, he can be worshipped because he is a God. So you're saying there's two gods. And depending on their religion, they might believe many gods. They might believe in Hindus, believe in there's millions of gods. It depends on their religion. Some believe there's two gods. Jesus is a God, but he's not mighty God. He's not Jehovah. And a Mormon believe that anybody can become a God if they live high enough, and that's what they believe. And Jesus was one who became a God. But he's not a heavenly Father. It's a different God. Now, let me show you the death nail of that. It's just the end of it. Isaiah. And I'll show you in Isaiah, 1 Timothy 1:17 says it. There's many other verses. Mark 12, 29 through 31 say it, many verses. But Isaiah 44. Let's see if God says there is another God, or will there ever be another God? Can there be another God? Because Jesus is obviously called God. Let's see if he is a God or if he is God. If there's just one God. Okay? Isaiah 44. And let's see. We'll start at verse 5. And one shall say, I am the Lord's. Another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. Another shall subscribe to the hand of the Lord and surname himself by the name of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. How many gods are there? There is no God beside me. Now, if he just said that, we could say, because the Bible says Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, every cult believes Jesus is a God, and he was there when we created the world and everything. He was created, but he was there at the start. But right here in the book of Isaiah, there is no God beside him. Okay? So if he is not God, okay, then he was created after Isaiah. Okay? But let's see if God goes any further than that. Verse 8, "Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from time, and have declared it, even ye, even my witnesses, is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any." So God doesn't know of them, but some people might. Isaiah 45. In verse 6. "That they may know that from the rising of the sun and from the west, and there is none beside me, I am the Lord, and there is none else." Okay, he's making this really, really clear, isn't he? Okay, he's making it real clear. Verse 21. "Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? That there is no God else beside me? A just God and a Savior. There is none beside me." Well, Jesus is a Savior, but I guess he's not a God. Because he said, there is no God beside me. Either you got one God with three parts, or you have multiple gods, or these verses aren't true. Okay? That's the only option. So you see pretty clearly, he says it pretty strong. Let's look at chapter, 45, let's look at 6, look at 21. Let's look at 46. "Remember the former things of old. I am God, and there is none else, and there is none like me." Okay? He says this really clear and many, many times. And he says it a bunch of different ways. And he says, "I am God. There is going to be no other God. And there never will be any God." And he says that you are making false God. You are making false gods. So he says, "There is no other God beside me. There's one God." Now, Mark chapter 12 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." 1 Timothy 1:17, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." And we see that. He just keeps on saying, there is no God. There is no other God. There never will be a God. There is no other God, neither we formed after me any other God, because there is no gods. And somewhere in here, there's a verse, and I'm not finding it right now. I didn't even put it in my notes. It says, "There is no God beside me, neither shall there ever be after me." Okay? He just says it real clearly. Number one, he's called God. Number two, he is worshipped. He is to be worshipped. Hebrews chapter 1. Those chapters in Isaiah 43, 44, and 45 are beautiful chapters about the way God feels and who he is, and they're great chapters. Hebrews chapter 1. He is told to be worshipped. Now, what are the first two commandments? "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not bow down to any idols of anything." Okay? You can only worship God all over the Bible. Everything else is idolatry, and you get in big trouble for it. However, we are told to worship Jesus. That can only mean he's God. Hebrews chapter 1. And these are pretty clear verses. And it's pretty strong, too. Verse 5. "For unto which the angel said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." The argument that he is an angel is destroyed right here. "This day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, he bringeth the first begotten into the world, and saith, Let the angels of God worship him." Now, God tells the angels to worship Jesus. Why would he do that if he's not God? "Let the angels of God worship him." Watch out. Watch out. It gets even stronger. "And which the angels said, He who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire." Verse 8. "But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." Wait a minute. God says to the angels, worship him. And then he says to Jesus, the Son, Thy throne, O God. Now we have God calling him God. Thy throne, O God, is forever. God the Father calls Jesus God. O God. Right? Am I seeing that right? Pretty clear there? Okay. God's not going to do that with somebody beside himself. Okay. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so he does that. It's pretty clear he does that. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Again, we're just showing you we're told to worship Jesus. We read two different passages where they worshiped him and he accepted the worship, which a man shouldn't, which only God is supposed to get the worship. Philippians chapter 2. And verse 10, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So everyone's supposed to bow to the name of Jesus, by the way. To the name of Jesus. Everything in the universe is supposed to bow down to the name of Jesus, and then to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. And so we see that even his name is worshipped. Revelation 17. Jesus is God in the flesh. Remember we read Matthew, thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. I don't even read that verse. Did we even get to that one? Which being interpreted is God with us. That's Matthew 1:23 if we didn't read it. He is to be worshipped. Let's see, Revelation 17. And these shall make war with the Lamb, verse 14, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they who are called are chosen and faithful. He's called the Lord of lords here in Revelation 17. Then Revelation 19. And out of his mouth is Jesus, of course, the Son of God, verse 11 and through 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that he should smite the nations and rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath in his vesture and on his thigh the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so you see what he's called here. And they are worshiping him and exalting him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Next thing I want to say that shows Jesus is God is Jesus is eternal. Let's go back to Colossians. Colossians. And a chapter 1. And14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, we just talked about that, even the forgiveness of sin, Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, Jesus, were all things that created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before him, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Okay, Jesus created all things, and everything consists by him, and he is before all things. He isn't some kind of creation that popped into and part of God's, the Father's creation. He has always been there. Let's look at John chapter 8. And John chapter 8 is a great chapter on this, beautiful chapter. John chapter 8. And John chapter 8. And let's look at verse, we're talking to the Pharisees, of course. The Pharisees were arguing with him. I lost that passage again. John chapter 8. And the Pharisees are arguing with him, and the Jews are arguing with him. And verse 52, it says, then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets now say, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death. These people are dead, but they're godly. Abraham and all these people, they've tested death, and they're more spiritual than you. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets that are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and I keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Abraham rejoiced when he saw my day. Why? Abraham saw Jesus coming. They said unto him, Art thou not yet 50 years old, and thou hast seen Abraham? Oh, it's ridiculous. Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, wait a minute. You understand. Immediately, they took up stones at the next verse. They took up stones to cast him. Not because he said, before Abraham was, I was. If he just said, before Abraham was, I was, they would have said, cuckoo, this guy's loony, forget about him. He said, before Abraham was, I am. I am is a phrase that only God uses. Moses says, who should I say sent me? He said, I am. I am means I am the self-existent one. His very name, Jehovah, means the self-existent one. He says, I just am. When did you start? I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Not I was. I live before Abraham. No, I am. I go forever. When they heard that, he just said, he's the I am. Get the rocks. Why? Because he said, I'm eternal. I'm God. That's what he said. Any Jew would know that. And they took up stones to kill him. Why? He is eternal. He didn't begin and become a God. He didn't get created. He didn't do all of a sudden great. Let me take it back to Philippians 2 again. We should have stayed there for a sec. I tried to keep my spot, then I lost it. And I knew I was going to go back there. Philippians 2. In Philippians 2, watch what he said. He did something to himself here to become the man who could die for us. See, I want you to understand, Jesus is 100% man when he was on earth and 100% God. You don't have to be able to understand that. He's God. He's beyond our comprehension. God became man, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Philippians 2 and some of the spots tell us a little bit about how he did it. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as of a man. See, here's what had to happen. Wage of sin is death. God had to divide himself, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and become flesh, because blood had to be shed, the life of the flesh. For by one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin, even so by one man shall life be brought in all men. Romans chapter 5 speaks all about this. God had to become a man to die for man. He had to suffer man's punishment. He had to go without sin. And so God clothed himself, Jesus did, in flesh, and became 100% man. He was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Yet he was fully God and worshiped and accepted worship, and he was God. Okay, he was God with us. God became man. He chose to clothe himself with humanity. He took upon him the form. Okay, that's what he did. Now, how does he do this? What is this? I'm confused. So there's only one God, so who's the Father and who's Jesus? I'm not going to spend the whole time teaching the Trinity, but just let me take a couple of verses and just show you the Trinity real quick. Genesis chapter 1. The Bible word for Trinity is Godhead. And we're not even going to turn to those verses just because that's not our focus tonight. But the Trinity, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. The Godhead is, okay? And Genesis chapter 1. In verse 26. And it says, and God, now notice the tenses here. And notice the agreement, and it looks like we're contradicting ourselves between singular and plural. And God, singular, said, let us make man in our image. Okay, the reason it's translated like that because the Hebrew word used for God here, Elohim, is a singular name that is plural. It's the only word. It's a unique word. It's just the word that you understand. When you use the word Elohim, you have a singular person. You have a singular name, but that name is it involves multiple people for one person. It's God's name. Now, it's one of God's names, Elohim, Jehovah, and many others. And God says, this is God's. They translate it properly because God's singular. Yes, there's one God. It's Elohim. However, this one God has multiple parts. So let they talked among themselves is what everything in this verse, if you look at it in Hebrew, they're talking among themselves saying, let us make man in our image. How did he make us? He made us a body, a soul, and a spirit. Three parts. It's not that unique, okay? And so Jesus was God. He is one third of the Trinity. We're made in the image of God. Remember, body, soul, spirit. We're in the image of God. We're a three-part creature, your body, your soul, and the spirit. Your spirit is what fellowships with God. It's what died when Adam and Eve ate the fruit. Remember, it said, in a day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. They didn't die physically that day. They died spiritually. Your spirit died. And you got to be reborn spiritually. John 3, 3 through 6. Except maybe born again. Why? Your spirit's got to come alive. And that's why he says that that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. That's why Matthew 10, 28 says, fear not him which is able to destroy your body, but is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Why? Because an unsaved person doesn't have a spirit. Their spirit is dead, but their body and their soul will go to hell. So fear God. A human can kill your body, but God can kill your body and soul. That's why if I get run over tonight and I die and then I go on the highway here and I get run over and you kids throw a frisbee again on the highway and I have to go get it and a big semi comes and runs me over. Look. Not. Okay. And just had to get that off my chest. And so when I do that and I get run over, and you see me flat as a pancake. If this happens tonight, it's going to be awful, isn't it? you will see my body there in the road. You will not see my soul in me. My soul's in heaven. My spirit's in heaven. Okay? So a body can be separated from a soul and spirit. Right? God said, I've got to die for mankind. I'm going to become a man. And God separated himself, his body part, Jesus, the word that became flesh dwelt among us. So that's what happened. And so that's what we see in the Trinity. 1 John 5:7, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Okay? It just says it pretty clear there. Let's look at John chapter 10 and verse 30. Let's see Jesus say he's God here and talk about the Trinity. And again, I'm not talking about the Trinity tonight. I'm just, in case you're saying, well, how can there only be one God? And God the Father told Jesus to do these things and all, this is how. And as a man, he always gave glory to God. He always did his miracles through prayer and through the work of God. You did what he did as a man, yet he was fully God so he could die for the sins of the whole world. And by the way, can I tell you, to say he's anything but God, if he's the only begotten Son of God, everything begets itself the same way. Okay? You don't have a hippopotamus have a baby and it said, oh, look, a possum. Okay? Humans don't suddenly give birth to a squirrel. Right? Everything after its kind in Genesis. So if God has a son, he might be a God. Okay? And it is God. It's God in the flesh. And you understand that. He is not some man. He is not just a prophet. He's not just a teacher. He's not some inferior thing. He's not a half God. Okay? He's God in the flesh. For God so loved the world. John chapter 10. And verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Let's go to John 14. Verse 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and that it'll suffice us. That'll be enough for us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? And the words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Okay, he says, why ask and see the Father? You've seen me, you've seen the Father. He just says there's one God, and the Bible says there's one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Okay, there's one God. That God is God, called God in the New Testament, called the Lord in the New Testament. He's called Elohim and Jehovah and other things in the Old Testament. And he's called many things. That one God has a Father and a Son and the Holy Spirit. I can show you the Holy Spirit called God also. But I want you to understand, Jesus is Lord. It's all over the Bible. God doesn't leave any mysteries about that. We serve a risen Savior who lives in our hearts. Isn't it amazing that we are the temple of God? When you have Jesus in your heart, you have God in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the Bible says. Jesus is the Lord God. You can believe it because God says it. Amen. It's all over the Bible. So if you believe it, say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Amen. It's in there. It's all over. That's our doctrinal lesson for tonight. Let's go ahead and bow for prayer. Lord, thank you for the word. Thank you for teaching us what you say. I pray that tonight we would just realize that your book's full of a defense of the deity of Christ. Lord, we can see it in 1 John, and we can see it in John, and we can see it in Genesis, and we can see it in Revelation, and Lord, we can see it in Isaiah, and we can see it all over, Father. I pray that we would love your word and love our Savior. Now, I know, Father, there are certain ways to pray. Each part of the Trinity does something. We're supposed to pray to the Father through the Son and the Spirit. I know that the Spirit makes intercession, and the Son gives us access, and you, Father, are the one who we talk to. I know that, Lord, but Father, It's you. You are God. You are the only God. There will never be another God. We thank you that we have the truth and we have you. Now, may we go out there and earnestly defend your truth of who you are. Lord, there's some nice, good folks out there. And Lord, there's many, many, many religions. Catholics, Lord, believe right about who Jesus is. And other religions, they understand that he is God in the flesh. But Lord, I pray that we'd be able to go out there and earnestly stand and say, Jesus is Lord. He is God. Here's what the Bible says it. Help us to be doctrinally sound as a church and his people and believe your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't think tonight we're going to do any